Father, we thank you for the teachings of Jesus. We thank you that they are teachings that bring light and they bring life. And we ask this morning that this portion of your word, this story of the life of Jesus and the stories he told would do us good. And they change us this morning, please. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. So here we are again. It's a Sunday morning and the word of God has been read. And the word of God is about to be preached. And you have a responsibility. This is what happens every Sunday. You guys sitting here have a responsibility. What is that? It is to listen. That is what happens. Now at this point in the gathering, let me ask you a question. What type of listener are you? What type of listener are you? See, maybe you're the sort of listener who week in, week out starts to count the ceiling tiles as soon as I stand up to preach. Maybe you think, well, I counted them last week, but I just have to be sure that no one's stolen one this week. So you start counting again. Maybe you're the sort of listener whose place it is where you get very distracted. So you listen, maybe you get distracted by children screaming in the hallway, whatever it might be. But maybe that's the thing, maybe you get distracted easily. Maybe you start to listen really well and you're tuning in and out, but your mind's on lots of things. You know, there's lots going on in your life at the moment. There's some tense situations and your mind is flitting between these situations. Or maybe you're the sort of listener who is very sceptical. And so you can hear what's being said, but all the way through you're just constantly, oh, I don't believe that. He can't mean that. That's not what Jesus said. Maybe that's the type of listener you are. Now, whatever type of listener you might be, can I ask you this morning whether you're a ceiling tile counter, whether you're an attentive and joyful listener, or whether you're someone who's easily distracted, please, this morning, will you give your attention to what Jesus has to say? Because he addresses this morning not what I'm doing from preaching, but what you guys are doing in listening. He wants you to think this morning about how you hear, how you listen, what happens when we come into this room and the Bible is opened and you guys are listening. He wants you to think carefully about that, the bit that you guys do regularly and I have to do at a different time. We want to listen to what God has to say. You see, if you walked into this room, if you were a complete stranger, you walked into this room, you had no idea what was going on, it might look like there's a whole group of people listening to someone speaking or listening to the Bible being preached. But actually, Jesus gives a snapshot of what's really going on in this room, in this story. And the first thing I want you to notice that Jesus says, actually I just need the clicker, that's okay. The first thing I want you to notice that Jesus says is that Jesus sows the seed of the gospel. That is what's going on in this room. Every Sunday, every time the Bible is open, Jesus sows the seed of the gospel. Have a look with me at chapter 8 and verse 1, where our story begins today. Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another. What's he doing? He is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He's calling someone as well. He's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He's proclaiming the good news that he has come into this world to die and to rise in order to give people like you and me a place in the kingdom of God. That is the people who live with God as king. That is what he's come to do. Jesus isn't just the deliverer of that message. He is also the center of that message. And you see his priority? His priority isn't miracles. His priority isn't healing people. His priority is to go around proclaiming to people a place in the kingdom of God that he alone can give. And that was the message he went around. And that was the impact it was having on people. These people listed in verses 1 to 3, the 12 who he calls to him, these women who he's saved and who have come to him to support him and help him. These are people who have heard the message and been saved. Jesus is sowing the word of the gospel, the seed of the gospel, and people are responding. That's how Jesus saves people. And as he's doing this, you notice verse 4, a large crowd starts to form. Not uncommon, but this is what happens when Jesus teaches. People gather to hear him. And what he then does is he tells a story that describes the very thing that he's doing as he makes a priority of preaching. And it describes it as a farmer who takes some seed, which is how they did it back then, they got handfuls of seed, and scatters them. So look with me at verse 4 and 5. While a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable, a story. A farmer went to sow his seeds. Now, what is that seed? Well, a little bit later, if you were listening carefully when we read, he then explains this story to his disciples. So look with me at verse 11. He tells us what this seed is. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Like a farmer who takes a handful of seed and scatters it, the Lord Jesus is like a farmer who takes the word of God, this good message about the kingdom of God, and he scatters it in the directions of people's hearts. That's what he's doing as this crowd gathers. And I want to say to you this morning that as you come into this room and the Bible is opened, or you open the Bible for yourself in the week, what is happening? The word of God, the risen Lord Jesus, is sowing seeds. He is scattering seeds this morning in the direction of your heart. That's what's happening in this room when the Bible is opened. And as the Bible is read, and as the Bible is preached, whoever does that from the front here, as the Bible is read and preached, a seed is taken and it is thrown in the direction of your heart. As you get your Bible open, and I hope you do, in the middle of the week, and as you read a scripture for yourself, what is the Lord Jesus doing? The risen Lord Jesus is taking the seed of the word of God and he's throwing it in the direction of your heart. And it bounces on your heart. That's what it does. As somebody shares the good news of Jesus with you as the one crucified and risen for the forgiveness of your sins, what's happening to you? The Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, is taking the seed of his word and he's throwing it at your heart. But what happens to that seed? What happens to that seed? Jesus wants us to understand this morning matters a lot, or is determined a lot by how you hear. What happens to that seed as it bounces on your heart on a Sunday morning or in the week depends a lot on how you listen. What type of listener are you? See, look at verse 8. Here's the challenge of Jesus. Look at what he says when he's finished telling this story about these four ways to hear. He says this: whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Now that might seem like an odd thing to say, because as far as I can see, most people in this room have ears. But do you know what he's saying? He's not talking about head ears. He's talking about heart ears. You see, it's easy, isn't it, to hear something. But he's calling you to do more with it than just hear. When the word of God is scattered in your direction, he's saying, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear, let them hear, let them take it in, let them think spiritually about it, let them listen to it, really listen to it. In fact, Jesus summarizes this. We're going to come to this section more fully next week. But verse 18, look what he says. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Consider carefully what you do when you come to church. Consider carefully what you do when you get the Bible open in the week. Consider carefully how you respond when someone shares the gospel with you. How we hear matters. Think carefully about it. And Jesus, in this story, he lists four responses to the gospel. Did you notice that, boys and girls? Did you notice that as we read that there were four places that the seeds landed? These are four ways to hear, but I want to be blunt this morning and say there's only one. Just one of those produces a crop. One type of listener. And Jesus wants us to think very carefully this morning about how we listen. He wants to urge us this morning, all of us, including me, to be listeners that grow a crop rather than listeners that the word never does anything. And so what I want us to do this morning is take Jesus' challenge of verse 18. I want all of us to do this. Will you do that with me this morning? Consider carefully how you listen. Not just this morning, but every Sunday. Every time you get the Bible open, consider carefully. And I want to do that using this story Jesus tells. And the first thing Jesus says to us is this: beware of crop killers. So the word, when it's planted, when it's thrown in the direction of your heart, is meant to grow a crop. But we need to be aware this morning of things that kill a crop from growing. And the first is this. The first crop killer is the devil. Look with me at verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seeds. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Here is one way to listen. But look at what Jesus says. Jesus explains these words for us in verse 12. So look down at verse 12. Those along the path, this type of listener, are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. As the seed of the gospel is scattered in the directions of our hearts, can I tell you this morning that the devil is poised, ready to snatch it away? Careless listening on a Sunday ignores this fact. Careless or ignorant listening forgets totally that there is an enemy, the devil, who loves to snatch away the seed of the word as it is thrown in the direction of your heart. To many of us and to many people in our world, the devil is a comic book character who's red and has horns and a big stick and tells us to do naughty things. That's the devil in our world's eyes. But can I tell you that the Bible isn't so humorous about the devil? The devil is not equal to God, but nonetheless is a very real and powerful enemy of God and of us, the people of this world. And verse 12 makes it very clear that the devil, if you look carefully at verse 12, the devil will do anything in his capability to stop us listening, believing, and being saved. He will do anything that it takes. He desperately does not want that seed, as it is sown in your heart and is scattered in your direction on a Sunday morning or midweek or whenever you open the Bible. He does not want that seed to get into your heart so that you believe it, have faith in it, and are saved by trusting the Lord Jesus. He does not want that to happen. The book of Romans says that faith comes from hearing. And if the devil can stop you hearing, if the devil can stop that word from sinking into your heart, then you won't believe. And if you won't believe, you won't be saved. He'll go to great lengths to snatch the word from you. So think about this, just be real for a moment. What happens to you on a Sunday? You sit here, you listen. Now, there are lots of factors in our listening, I know, but let's be real. What happens? Are you a forgetful person? Do you walk out of here and then immediately the word is forgotten, giving you a desire perhaps to count the ceiling tiles more than to listen to what's being said from the Bible? Where do you think that comes from? Who do you think plants that desire there? Who think is it that causes you to fidget and to not concentrate and to be distracted? The devil loves to distract us, because he does not want the seed of God's word to be planted in our hearts. I read something this week by an old pastor, a guy called J.C. Ryle. Some of you will know him. An old guy from Liverpool. And he said this. He said this to his congregation. This is my paraphrase of it. But he said to them, you know, people make a mistake. They think that the devil never comes to church. But actually, he said, friends, let me tell you that the devil is more regular at church than some of you. And that is because the devil, this is the place he wants to be, because this is where the word is sown. Like a bird sitting in the rafters, he's poised, ready to snatch the good seed of the gospel that's in your heart, been sown in the direction of your heart. The devil loves to, like a bird, eat up the seed that has fallen on the path. Maybe you think you don't believe because it's your choice. But maybe Jesus would say differently. Maybe you don't believe because the devil is active, snatching the seed from your heart. How easy it is to walk away from church on a Sunday and forget what we've heard. To allow the word no impact, no dent in our heart, no dent in our soul, because we have walked away and it has been ignored. It's been snatched away. But the devil's tactic isn't just to make us forget it. The devil, look at verse 5 again. I think this is quite telling. This is only in Luke's gospel, actually, this phrase. But it says that it's trampled on. Did you notice that in verse 5? The seed is trampled on. The devil loves to trample on God's words. So where do you think skepticism and doubt and kind of that feeling of, oh, you don't believe that nonsense, do you? That doesn't fit with science. That doesn't fit with what we know about the world. All that. Where do you think trampling on comes from? It comes from the devil in your heart and your mind. When those thoughts are there, it's because the devil is active to try and trample on God's word, to get you to dismiss it as irrelevant and pointless. That's got no impact on my life. The devil is active. And let me tell you something this morning. I mean, we all have different Sundays, okay? I recognize that. Some Sundays we're very distracted, you know, I know that. And some Sundays we're not. But if this is your general pattern of listening, if this is kind of the picture of you over the last kind of 20 weeks or whatever it is, then actually you need to be aware that the devil is probably very active to snatch the word from you. Beware. Beware of him. And you need to beware on a Sunday of the devil and his tactics. Why? Because the stakes are high. The stakes are high. Look at verse 12. If you have the seed snatched away continually, you will not believe and you will not be saved. That is a very high stake. There will be no place in the kingdom of God if you do not believe and put your faith in the Lord Jesus. The stakes are high. Look at verse 18. It says there, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. The stakes are high if we allow the devil to kill the chances of a crop growing. So that's thing number one. Crop killer number one is the devil. Crop killer number two is that you have no roots. Look at verse 6. Rocky ground. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered, because they had no moisture. Then he interprets that for us. If you look down to verse 13, those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no roots. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Crop killer number two, the thing that will stop the seed from growing in you is that you never allow it to go below the surface. You never allow the word to affect your heart and your soul and to change you. You come on a Sunday and you love it. You love a Sunday. You love listening. You love what God's word's got to say. It really makes sense. It's brilliant. You love it on a Sunday and you leave with joy. You say thank you to the preacher on the way out. That was a great sermon. That really helped me this morning. But it makes no difference to a Monday. You love the Bible. You love what it's got to say. But actually, when you get a conviction of sin, your life never changes. See, there's a danger for us. That's something that will kill a crop, is that we never allow the word to penetrate below the surface. That's what happens, isn't it, with this seed that falls on ground with no roots. It just withers up. And the thing about this type of listening is it's really hard to spot. You know, you wouldn't be able to go around this room and say, oh, that person, well, they're like the rocky ground. You wouldn't be able to tell that because they're full of joy and they receive it. The only time you see it is when a time of testing comes. That's when you see that there's a problem. That's when you see that the root, the seed of God's word has never taken root in someone's heart. Because when testing and trial comes along, what does Jesus say happens, verse 13? They fall away. Like a house with no foundation. It's just blown away. So that could be a number of things for us, couldn't it? Perhaps it's a time of trial because you're just in a prolonged time of sickness. And it's just grinding you down. And you suddenly, because you have no roots, turn from the message of Jesus, the word of God. And you just bail out and you think, well, I need something else here. This isn't working. Or perhaps it's someone mocking your faith. Perhaps it's a desire to fit in. When it becomes a little bit uncomfortable to be known as a Christian, then actually suddenly you start to fall away. Why? Because the word has taken no root. Beware. Beware of this as a crop killer. Beware of a type of listening that says, yeah, I love what I heard on a Sunday, but you leave here and it makes no difference to a Monday. Allow the word to take root in your heart. Allow the word to change you from the inside out. Beware of surface level listening. Crop killer number three. You still with me? Everyone alive? This is quite, it's quite a lot to go through in this story. I'm sorry about that, but we've got to go for it, okay? Crop killer number three is life's worries and life's joys. Life's worries and life's joys. If you are the sort of person, look at verse 7. So let me explain this. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and with it and choked the plants. And then he explains this for us in verse 14. So look down to verse 14, sentence 14 there. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. If you're the sort of person who comes to church with a heart that is consumed by the things, the real worrying things going on in your life, I don't want to deny that, then Jesus says you've got to be really careful. Because there is a danger that the things that are going on in your life, good or bad, can become things that ever stop the word that you hear on a Sunday growing into a crop of salvation. A crop of having a place in the eternal people of God. And we know what that's like, don't we? Life's worries. I probably don't have to persuade you of that. If we went round this room, I'm sure we could make a very big list of the things that were worrying us at the moment. Troubles at school. Maybe you kids, maybe you're not looking forward to going to school tomorrow because there's just troubles. Maybe there's those kids in your class that are just making life tough for you. Maybe it's the pressure of exams. There are just things that are consuming us all the time. Maybe for some of us grown-ups, it's those bills that need paying and we're thinking, help. How's that bill going to get paid? You know, how am I going to afford to do this month? For some of us, it might be a particular parenting issue. Very real. What do I do? It's a life's worries. It's there. It's in the heart. It's knotting us up in the stomach. It could be a marriage problem, a relationship problem. It could be an unsolved health problem. There are loads. I do not have to push hard to help you to know that life is full of worries. But listen to the warning of Jesus. Those things, as real and as painful as they are in danger of choking the word of God in us. As the seed of the gospel is planted in your heart, it is possible for those life worries to choke the word, to stop it growing into a crop, to stop you ever maturing. Look what words it uses, maturing as a believer. That distraction. You know, how do we know if we're this type of listener? Well, you know, just think carefully about your pattern of listening on a Sunday morning. If your pattern of listening regularly is, I listen for a few minutes and then my mind starts to think about that problem. You know, that problem I've got to solve at work on Monday or Tuesday. If your mind starts to think, oh, you know, I hope that hospital appointment comes through this week. If your mind starts to think, oh, you know, I'm dreading school this week. If that is your consistent pattern of listening, then Jesus is kindly alerting you this morning and saying, be careful, there's a crop killer around. There's a killer on the loose who wants to take the word and stop it ever doing anything in you. Life's worries can have that effect. But it's not just life's worries. It's also the things we enjoy can do the same. Do you notice that? Have a look again at verse 14. The seed that fell along the thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, yes, but riches and pleasures as well. There is not just worrying things that choke us, but our hearts can be full of lots of things we enjoy. Hobbies, Minecraft, it could be full of football, it could be full of the things we love, our families and the things that we find joy in. But those things, if they are the ground on which the seed falls, if that's consuming us, Jesus says, be careful, it's a crop killer. The desire for stuff, the latest toy, the latest phone, the latest gadget, the latest house, whatever it might be for you, be careful. Be careful how you listen, because that can kill the crop. That can stop a crop ever growing. So beware. Beware of crop killers. And instead, Jesus says, pursue crop feed. Oh, I know that's a rubbish heading, but you'll work out what I mean. Crop killers kill a crop, but crop feed grows a crop, doesn't it? I'm no gardening expert, as my wife will tell you. But one year I set out on a very manly mission to try and grow some tomatoes with my children. You don't look impressed, any of you, by this manly endeavour. But I remember going to the shop and, you know, we went to the garden centre and we bought this bag that you can grow tomatoes in. And I asked the man, you know, trying to look as manly as possible, what else do I need? And he said, well, you need some tomato plants. I'm like, yes. So we got this bag and we got some tomato plants. And what else do I need? And he said, well, you need some poles so that they can grow up. I was like, yes, yeah, I know that. That's good. And then he pulled out this bottle of tomato feed. And I thought, now you're just trying to make money. You know, I'm like, really? But it's true that these plants, to grow healthy, to grow strong, they need feed, they need food. Now, as the Lord Jesus scatters the seed of the gospel in the direction of your heart, what does it need? It needs food. It needs feed. It needs the right conditions to grow. And Jesus, in verse 15, shows us the type of heart, the type of listening that grows a crop. Look at verse 15. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Jesus gives us a number of conditions to help the word grow. Here's the first. Have a heart to hear the word. Have a heart, a desire to hear the word. Is that how you come on a Sunday morning? Jesus describes here a good and a noble heart. Now, if I'm taking an honest look at myself, I'd say, well, that's not a very good description of me. But it's not talking about sinlessness. This is talking about the desire to come. A heart that comes to church and says, Jesus, I want to hear what you've got to say today. Jesus, you're the king of this kingdom of God, and I want to listen to your instructions. It's an attitude I think we see demonstrated in the disciples. Look at verse 9. So Jesus tells this story, and what do? Verse 9. They don't say, oh, that was a nice story. Thanks for that, Jesus. And what do they say? Jesus, tell us what this means. Jesus, I want to know. It's a noble and a good heart. Is that how you come to church on a Sunday? Is that your desire? You know, we should have a big view of what happens when the Bible is opened. We're listening to the Word of God. It can change us. Do you come with a heart that says, Lord, I want to learn today. Jesus, I've messed up lots this week. I need your Word to guide me. Jesus, I'm really struggling this week. I need your Word to help me. Do you come with that heart? Because Jesus says that heart is the ground in which the scattered seed starts to grow. A heart that is hungry. A heart that wants to hear. The second condition of a heart is a heart that holds the word. So look at again at verse 15. He says, those who hear the word, what's the next little phrase? Retain it. Retain it. What does that mean? Well, it means faith. It means to believe what you're told. It means to cling on to it. I was trying to think about this the other day, and the best thing I could think of was, have you ever seen a kid play pass the parcel? Have you ever seen that? It's brilliant, isn't it? But you lot are terrible when you play, because when it comes to you, what does a kid do when it's their turn? This is what they do. They grab it, the knuckles go white, and they hold it as tight as they can, and they pass it as slowly as they can to the next person. They hold on to it. Why? Because they know they've got something good in their hands. They want the prize that's contained within it. They want the music to stop on them, and so they hold it tight. Now, can I say that is what we should be like with the Word of God on a Sunday? When it is passed to us, when we receive it, we should cling to it like a kid in Pass the Parcel who does not want to let go, holds it tight. I believe, Jesus, what you're saying. I trust you. And so I'm going to cling to it with all my worth. I'm going to hold tight to it. I'm going to put my faith in it. That's what we should be like with the Word of God. Someone who believes it, who puts their faith in it on a Sunday. That's the conditions in which a crop starts to grow. That's the conditions which lead to the final place in the kingdom of God. You see, that's how someone becomes a Christian, isn't it? If you're sitting here and you're a believer, how did the word first grow in you? Because you held on to it. He said, that's exactly what I need. That is what I want. Contained in there is the prize that I want, and I'm not going to let go of it. That's how you became a believer. And if you're not a believer, that's what you need to do to become a believer. Put your faith in the Word of God. Jesus Christ crucified, risen, returning as judge. If you put your trust in what he did at the cross, you will be forgiven. Forgiven. And have a place in this kingdom of God that he went around talking about. That's how you become a Christian. But friends, that's also how we carry on as a Christian. You don't just put your faith in the Word of God once. Every week we come is a week to cling on to the Word of God. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to put my faith in it. I'm going to believe what Jesus is telling me this week. Even if it seems to fly in the face of everything else our culture says. Even if it flies in the face of what's happening in your life at the moment, you hold tight. That is the condition in which the Word of God grows. And lastly, you have a heart that sticks with the word. You see that? Look at the last phrase, verse 15. You hold it, and you persevere. You keep going. Look down there, just at verse 15. By persevering, they produce a crop. That word to persevere kind of captures the idea of like a long distance race. You know, not giving up. I struggled to run past a couple of miles, 6 miles or whatever. And then anywhere beyond that, I think, how do these guys go for like 20 odd miles in their marathons? It's an endurance race. It's kind of a battle of the mind and the will and the legs and everything. It's sort of this whole persevering thing. But the conditions in which the crop of God's word or the seed of God's word will grow in us and produce salvation in the whole of our life is this. We stick with the word. You stick with it during trials. So when hard times come, when testings come, the condition for a crop is someone who says, I'm going to keep going with God's word. Even when things are difficult. Not like the rocky ground that when testing comes, they fall away. And we need to have perseverance that keeps going to the end. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, we're waiting for Jesus to come. He is coming, but you're going to need perseverance to get there. You're going to need to hold that word for a long time, some of us. He might come today. Please, Jesus, may that be true. But for some of us, the reality is we have been waiting a long time. Some of us in this room have been believers for a lot of years. Some of us have got a long life ahead of us, maybe. Well, we've got to hold and persevere. But that is the conditions in which the gospel grows. See, verse 10. Jesus loves to give the secrets to those who come to him. He loves to give the secrets of the kingdom of God and to teach and to grow and to mature those who come to him with a noble and a good heart, with faith and with perseverance. You see, coming back to where I started this morning, what you do at this point in a gathering on a Sunday morning matters. How we listen to God's word, all of us, when we open the Bible, whether that's privately or whether we read it with one another, how we listen matters. We have to beware, friends, of things that kill the crop of God's word. We have to beware of the devil who loves to snatch it away. Beware of trials. Beware of surface-only listening. Beware of the worries of this life. Beware. And instead, produce or pursue crop feeders. You know, there is a way to listen. Did you know that? On a Sunday morning, with faith, with perseverance, with a heart that says, I want to hear, that is a way of listening that defeats the devil, stops him snatching the seed. That is a way of listening that lasts through trial. That is a way of listening that scorns the trials and the worries of this world and scorns the riches of this world and says, we live for something better. That is listening that we need to do. Verse 18. Consider carefully how you listen. And so simply, I say over to you. Over to you. What type of listener are you? What type of listener are you? What type of listener am I? I said I wasn't listening. I am listening. I have to listen to God's word all the time. But what type of listener are we? How we listen matters. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together.